that boule at the front of it. While he's doing that, just a couple of extra announcements this morning. 2 weeks from today, we would like to call a special business meeting of the church. That would be on Sunday, December the 2nd. The purpose of that special business meeting is that a recommendation will be brought to us at that time concerning supporting a new missionary. Diane Melanick, who was with us not too long ago, heading to New Zealand, her goal is to get there sometime at the first of this next year, and she's very, very close to having her support raised. And at the deacons' meeting the other night, we discussed that and decided we'd bring a recommendation to the congregation that we would begin supporting Diane Melanick. And we're kind of wanting to do it so we can get in there to help her get to the field here as quickly as possible. So that's the purpose of that meeting, so just to keep that in mind. And then second announcement concerning this week, our schedule. Due to the fact that we have a number of our folks who will be traveling during the Thanksgiving holiday here, we are going to put prayer meeting on Tuesday night of this week rather than Wednesday night. So we're going to change prayer meeting to Tuesday night this week. So keep that in mind on Tuesday. And of course, there will not be regular Awana or anything, because when we don't have school, we don't have Awana as the normal plan of action there. So keep those announcements in mind. Also, don't forget tonight after during our service, we will not meet in here tonight. We'll be meeting in our gymnasium / fellowship hall / whatever you want to call it there. But we're going to be meeting in there, and we'll be doing a lot of singing. We'll be doing some spend some time in God's word. We will have a prayer time, and then we'll end the evening with pies. That's why we call it prayer, praise, and pie. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that evening. With that in mind, if there are a few men who could very quickly help us set up some tables and chairs in there. We're not going to set up tables for everybody. We're just going to set up chairs for the service, and then a few scattered tables. So keep that in mind, and if there are some of you who could help immediately following this service this morning, just take 10 minutes or so to set up the chairs we need. That would be appreciated. Take your Bibles and turn to, oh, it's Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32, would you turn there, please, in your Bibles? Jeremiah 32. During this month of November, I have been giving a short series of Thanksgiving messages. The first week of this month, we looked at Exodus 15 and saw the praise of the children of Israel for their deliverance from the land of Egypt, and so a prayer for a thanksgiving for deliverance. Last week we looked in Deuteronomy 26, and there we saw the children of Israel about to enter the promised land, and as they were about to enter the promised land, they were giving praise to God for his provision and protection. And then this morning, we're going to look here in Jeremiah 32. Look at verse 17 of Jeremiah 32, 17. It says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." There's a song. Some of you might be familiar with the song. It's called Ah, Lord God. How many of you are, at least have heard the song? Five of you are going to come and sing it for us. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to introduce it. It comes right from this passage of Scripture. It almost, in many cases, almost word for word here, but it takes a lot of the words out of verse 17, then a couple of words out of verse 18, great and mighty God, and then verse 19, great in counsel and mighty in work. It uses a few of the words from each of those three verses, but let's try it this morning to sing, Ah, Lord God.
Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee, great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing is too difficult for thee.
That was my fault. I forgot one measure in there where Dr. Plays an extra part in there and we don't sing. So let's try it once more. That was totally my fault. Here we go.
Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Nothing is too difficult for thee.
We'll learn that one together. Good. Thank you so much. I remembered the second time to not sing that one measure. All right. Let's read a little additional to what we read earlier already this morning. Let's start at verse 16 of Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32, 16. Now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensed the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set sign and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as at that day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in the law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore, thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold, the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hands of Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass. Behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witness, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Let's pray. Father, bless as we open your word and look at it now. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a short outline here of the book of Jeremiah. I'm not expecting you to be able to read all of that, but here's a little simpler one that maybe we can point out. Jeremiah, as you know, his whole purpose in writing the book is to bring prophecy concerning God's judgment upon the nation of Israel, in particular upon the city of Jerusalem. And so he is spending time pointing out their sin and why this judgment is going to come, again, encouraging them along the way to repent. But we see up here, he's called, that's in chapter 1, and then he gives some of the reasons for the judgment that's coming. The nation was committing adultery, the nation had corrupt leadership, the nation was all involved in all kinds of moral compromise. And then he exhorted them to repent. But then coming down to chapters 30 to 33, there are promises of restoration. So our chapter this morning, chapter 32, is where? Right in the middle of this promises of restoration. That's where we are this morning. And then we see in the next several chapters, starting in chapters 38 to 45, the actual fall of Jerusalem and the nation. And notice in verse 12 and 13, it says, I gave evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah. So he used Baruch for that. And then in verse 13 it says, I charged Baruch before them, saying. And then we read as well during some of the other verses, verse 16, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah. What you're seeing right here on the screen in front of you is a picture of what's called a bula, and it's a clay seal that was used to seal up documents. And then they would press an impression in it with usually a ring, a signet ring, and they would press in. This is the actual, this is not an imitation, this is an actual bula that says on it, Baruch, the son of Neriah, the scribe. This was found, excavated in Israel. This is this man that we're talking about here in Jeremiah. 2,600 years ago. This is the same Baruch that's mentioned in this passage. I know this is a little difficult to see, but here you see several pieces of pottery and some things here. And here in this little trench, those are burned pieces of wood. They are like beams of a house burned. I have been to this place in Israel. This is underneath the present-day city. It's a place called the Burnt House. And it is one of the actual houses that was burned during the time that Babylonians took over the city of Jerusalem. And you go there, it's underneath the city today. You go there, and you can still smell, 2,600 years later, burnt timber. That's from this story that we're looking at this morning. Here's what it looks like a little bit today, where they have tried to reconstruct some of the walls that would have been there and put some of the vessels and pots. That looks like it's that is actual clay there. It almost looks like a basket, but it's a clay pot. This is called the Burnt House. And you can go there and visit that place in that's part of this story that comes from Jeremiah 39 and following, when they actually burned the city. Here's a little bit of outline, a timeline that we are looking at. Remember back in 2067 BC, Abraham established his covenant in Genesis 12 with Abraham, God with Abraham. Then in 1446, we have what we studied in Exodus 15 a little while ago, the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt. And I preached the message on Thanksgiving for deliverance. Then 40 years later, as they were about ready to enter the promised land, in Deuteronomy 26, they were reminded to give thanksgiving to God for his faithfulness. And we studied that last Sunday. Tonight, or this morning, 588 BC, so we're many years later now. They've been in the land, and now Jeremiah is prophesying against the nation for their wickedness, that judgment is coming. And in the midst of all of this coming judgment, this is an outline of just chapter 32. Notice that I've entitled this, The Manifestation of Faith. We will see in a tremendous picture this morning how Jeremiah exercised faith. He exercised faith in the promises of God. And so we have the setting. What was the setting? Well, in verses 1 through 5, what's the setting? It says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison and was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall be he shall be until I visit him. It's another way of saying until he dies, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. So this was his prophecy, and so what's the setting? Where's Jeremiah? He's being held in a prison in the king's court, and it's all because what he was preaching was not popular with the king. You're telling everybody that I'm going to be captured and taken to Babylon, and I'm going to talk face to face with the king Nebuchadnezzar. So I don't like to hear that. So he was in prison. But while he was in prison, so that's the setting. And then the Lord's command, the Lord told him to do something that didn't sound very reasonable here. Told him to do what? Buy some land. If I knew that in just a short while I was going to be captured and taken into captivity myself, why would I waste my money buying property that's just going to fall into the hands of those who capture us and who capture our nation? It doesn't make sense. But there's a big object lesson that's going on here, and also a test of Jeremiah's faith. Here's really what's at stake. Do you really believe what God said? Because God had already revealed to him that they were going to come back out of captivity, that it was only going to last 70 years. And so we see this command to buy land, and you can see it starting in verse 6. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field. And then verse 9, and I bought the field and weighed out the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witness and weighed him the money and the balances. And I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch. All right, we saw that seal. And so here was the command to buy the land, and here was his obedience, and he bought the land. And we just read about that. But notice verse 14. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, the evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and the evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. So this is all just the setting. And now, while he's in prison, having purchased the land, having given all the documentation of purchasing the land, having witnesses as he weighed out the money for the land, now he goes into this, which is the topic of our message this morning, the prayer and praise of thanksgiving. And you'd say, wait a minute, thanksgiving? What does Jeremiah have to be thankful for? He's in prison. He's about ready to be taken into captivity. The land that he just bought, he's never going to see it again for many years. Why would he now be giving praise to God? And I want you to also notice, before we look at this, go back to chapter 30. And Jeremiah had already had this prophecy that he had given. Verse 1 of chapter 30, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Look at chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee, and I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Look at verse 17 of chapter 31. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Verse 28. For them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. So he has all these promises that we're going to come back and I'm going to rebuild and I'm going to bring you back to the land. And so Jeremiah is demonstrating a tremendous act of faith when he buys that piece of land, that he believes what God says. Now, let's examine his prayer, and that starts there in verse 17, this prayer that we sang part of this morning when we sang, Ah, Lord God. Jeremiah is really giving us a wonderful pattern of prayer here as well, because when prayer begins, where should all prayer begin? Well, it should begin with adoring God. And what does it say here? Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. He is praising God for who God is, and he is praising God for what God has done. And so he is looking at his works and looking at his person. and he's giving glory to God because he's the creator. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth. And he's the sustainer. Nothing is too hard for thee. And he is the benefactor, the all-powerful one, great and mighty. He is unlimited in ability, and he is incontestable in his sovereignty. He is God. And so he begins where all true praise and thanksgiving, even though he's sitting in a jail cell, waiting, because did you pick up earlier when we read in verse, let me find it. Yes, verse 24, it says, behold the mounts. What are mounts? Well, these are the earthen ramparts that the Babylonians had already poured in, the ramps, the mounts, with which they're going to conquer the city. And so the preparation's already made. The mount is already built. They are about ready to come over the wall. That's what he's saying. And we see that taking place just a little bit later in this book. But here he is giving glory to God even in the midst of all this, because God has promised that in justice there is also mercy. In justice there is also mercy. He is going to bring forth judgment, but in his judgment he is being merciful. And he is going to bring them back to the land and replant them in the land. He is the fountain. God is the fountain of all being, all power, all life, all motion, all perfection. No one can control God. No one can contend with God. Did you notice that Jeremiah didn't argue here and say, now wait a minute, God. That does not make any sense to spend this money on land that I'm probably never going to get to use. Rather than me take the loss of the land, I'll let my brother-in-law take the loss of the land. Now, why should I do it? I'll let my uncle suffer. No, he didn't argue with God. He just bought the land. Why? Because of the promises that we just read, that he promised, you're going to come back. You're going to come back. I'm going to put you back. And then what did Jeremiah acknowledge that we just sang this morning? There at the end of verse 17, he said, There is nothing too hard for thee. What do you think Jeremiah was thinking about when he penned those words, there is nothing too hard for thee? Bringing us all back to this land. Even though we've been taken captive, nothing is too hard for thee. I want you to just stop and think about something in your life that's going on right now that seems impossible. And then I want you to remember Jeremiah's words, there is nothing too hard for thee. Nothing too hard for thee. Human skill and human wisdom fail. But with God, there is complete power and complete wisdom. James 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Ask of God. And God is, according to our verse here, great in counsel and mighty in work. And so he speaks of the person and the work of God. He speaks of the boundless, bottomless, limitless, I like those words, boundless, bottomless, and limitless mercy and grace of God. Notice what he said in verse 18. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands. Loving kindness is another word for mercy. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands. He is infinitely impartial and inflexible in his justice. Notice he said, and recompensed the iniquity of the fathers under the bosom of their children after them. There's a picture going on here that's a little difficult for us to see. But the picture here is of a workman getting his wages, and to safekeep his wages, rather than he holding on to them, he would take those wages and fold them into his child's garments, because they wouldn't think that a child would be carrying that kind of money. So for safekeeping, he would fold those wages into the garment of his child. Notice what it says here. Recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. Now, we might be thinking that he's going to hold the children responsible, is how that verse looks. But God is just. And what he's saying is that be sure that I'm going to recompense you for the reward. There's no getting out of it. It's just like I'm going to fold it into the bosom of your child, and it's going to be there. And so what this passage is teaching us, and what Jeremiah is really thanking God for here, is that you are just and you are merciful. And then he comes back to the theme of God's dominion and his greatness and his might when he says there in verse 19, great in counsel, mighty in work. But what does he note at the latter part of verse 19? Well, Jeremiah recognizes God's universal knowledge of man. Not just Israel here, but look at what it says, verse 19. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men. Not only is God omnipotent, he's the creator, he's the sustainer, but he is omniscient. All of men's ways are open before him. He sees, he knows, and he's going to make mankind accountable. He judges rightly. And then part of his prayer of thanksgiving here, he's thanking God for his power and might. He's thanking God for his kindness and mercy. He's thanking God for his justice. He's thanking God for how he impartially looks upon all the ways of the sons of men to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. But then he goes back to a theme that we've read about last Sunday and the Sunday before. It's interesting how each of these three passages talk about the deliverance from Israel. You want to talk about a big deal in the history of Israel? It was when God brought them out of Egypt. That was a big deal. And they recognized how big a deal that was. They continue to recognize it by having the Passover Seders continually. But they recognize this great deliverance. And so he refers to it again in this passage, which has set sign and wonders in the land of Egypt even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, and with great terror. That was two Sundays ago. Now, and hast given them this land, which thou didst swear to give them just before they entered in. We studied last Sunday, and now they have entered in into a land flowing with milk and honey, and they came in and possessed it. And I wish I could stop there. But look at the next word, but. But they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore, thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Jeremiah, in his prayer of thanksgiving for God's faithfulness, for God's mercy, for God's justice, he now bewails the fact that all of this evil is coming upon the nation. He had been trying, crying, prophesying so that they would repent. But notice how he closes. Behold the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it. And the city is given into the land of the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass. And behold, thou seest it. It's right here. All I have to do is look over the wall. And there they are. And there's the earth ramparts that have been built, the mounts. And we're surrounded. We're being besieged. God keeps his word. Verse 25. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord, buy thee a field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. He didn't say it here, but he could have added, but I believe you're going to bring us back, because you're a merciful God. Jeremiah knew that the nation was facing judgment. The reason was their disobedience, and that God was entirely just in doing what he was doing. Jeremiah also recognized that in judgment, there was also mercy. God promised over and over to bring them out of captivity and return them to their land. He believed it. He bought the land. You know, today there are people, neighbors, friends, relatives, who at times will look at what's going on in our world today and say, where is your loving, just God? Well, they don't understand, first of all, who God is. But secondly, they don't understand that everything that's happening to us is our own making. If you want to point a finger at anybody, point your finger right here. We're all responsible because of sin for what's going on in the world today. It's not God. Who was responsible for these children of Israel being taken into Babylonian captivity? They were. Everything God does is 100% just. Because of man's sin and man's rebellion, man deserves death. Man deserves spiritual death. Man deserves eternal death, separation from God in hell. Hebrews 9:27 says, after this, the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. But because of God's love and mercy today, he has provided a way that we can escape eternal death and punishment. He provided a substitutionary lamb. We sang about that lamb in several of our songs this morning, to pay for man's sin and to provide redemption and restoration to all who receive him by faith. I want you to turn over toward the end of the Bible to Titus, little book of Titus. It comes just before the big book of Hebrews. There's Titus and Philemon and then Hebrews. It's just a very small book of three short chapters. Epistle of Paul to Titus. Notice in verse 5, 3:5, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Jeremiah thanked God for his justice and his mercy. One of the things that we ought to be thanking God for this morning is he is a just God and he is a merciful God. And because of his mercy, he saves us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this third prayer of thanksgiving that we've looked at this month. Kind of an unusual setting, a setting that shortly after he prayed this prayer resulted in the city of Jerusalem being destroyed and burned. And Jeremiah lamented over that in his book of the Lamentations. Father, thank you for the faith demonstrated by Jeremiah in our passage this morning, where he obediently purchased a field based upon the promises of God. Lord, thank you that we too have promises of God. Thank you that your word says, he that hath a son hath life. And he that receives that son has eternal life and shall never perish. Father, we're thankful that the same God who promised restoration to the land of Israel after the Babylonian captivity is the same God who in mercy today offers us restoration to himself and to God through the finished work of Christ. Today, I personally thank you for your justice and your mercy. One of the Psalms goes over and over and over and says, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Lord, we're thankful today for the justice and mercy of God. And I pray today, if there's one who is still living under the judgment of sin, that they might see that in God's mercy and grace, there is forgiveness and cleansing from sin in the blood of Jesus Christ. May they place themselves by faith under that blood. So speak to hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.